Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communications. I want once again thank our sponsor, The One Institute, for very kindly making sure that we're here with you every week. It's wonderful. And if you want more information about The One Institute, you can go to www.oneinstitute.org. Dr. Allen has a wonderful seminar coming up November 8th. That is a Sunday at the Marriott in Long Beach. Amazing, $95 to have Dr. Allen all day, which is a bargain beyond words. And you can find a way to sign up at www.wantistore.com. Dr. Allen,
yes.
You're on the air.
Thank you.
And what are you going to be talking about at that wonderful seminar?
We're going to be talking about the three pivotal aspects of being in love.
Ah.
One is chemistry.
Okay.
That's the right exchange of DNA.
Right.
One is compatibility. Your lifestyles fit. You're both single. You're both married. Whatever.
Right.
Anyway, you're compatible. And then the third one, which is my major interest, is communication.
Right.
How do you communicate? Beware of your thoughts, for they become words. Beware of your words, they become habits. Beware of your habits, they become your character. Beware of your character, it becomes your destiny. At the bank, the doctor's office, and in every single relationship. I'm a certified transactional analyst, have been one for almost 40 years, and Eric Byrne took Sigmund Freud and made him simple. And I teach people how to use words so that they can balance their yin and yang energy between them and within them. So talking and communicating. There's a wonderful book out there, The Five Languages of Love. I can't remember the author, but there is a book. And it says that each of us has a different form of communication.
Mm-hmm.
Some people don't like to talk. They like to touch. Other people don't like to talk or touch. They like gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Some people like travel.
Right.
If we each have our idea of what love looks like or sounds like in a relationship, whether it's parent, child, or brother, sister, or man, woman, or man, man, woman, woman.
Right. Excellent.
Communication.
So that is going to be November 8th, am I right?
Yes.
Right. And that is a Sunday. And you can get more information at www.drpatallen.com. And again, I believe you can sign up through the Want iStore, wantistore.com. Dr. Allen.
What?
One more thing I want to talk to you about. First, I'm going to tell our callers that they can call in at 323-203-0815. But you are now somewhere else on Monday night, somewhere fabulous. How are you liking being at the Courtyard Marriott in Culver City?
I like it very much. And the reason is that we are allowing more than 99 people. The Darling Theater where we were, the Odyssey, is an equity theater, which is wonderful. And it has only 99 seats.
Right.
But this wonderful LA Talk Radio has managed to attract more people to my Monday night show.
That's correct.
And for that reason, we were having people lobbed up in the lobby.
And unhappy. We don't like unhappy people. We like happy people.
So we moved over to the Courtyard Marriott at Bristol at Culver City.
Right. At Bristol
and
Parkway,
we
right.
We were there, same time, 7 to 8:30.
Mm-hmm.
And same price, $10.
Right.
And I like it.
I hear there's a little place where people can go after and have a little
chit-chat. There is a huge lounge.
Is there really?
For people. Leather chairs. Dark light.
Ooh,
it's
very sexy.
Wonderful.
Oh, very, very sexy.
So you can come in and find out how to get a relationship and then go out in the lobby and practice.
We have a caller. Let's take it. Let's do that. Oh, we lost our caller. Call back, caller. So one of the questions that's out on the internet right now, it's a big hotbed issue. Are smartphones taking the place of our real life intimate relationships? But we'll go back to that because we've got our caller back. Let's take them. Hello, caller. Hello. You're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I do have a question, and I also have a status update. Which do you want first?
Whatever you want to give us.
Yeah, give it to us.
Okay. I'm the person who gave the hi-bye letter too early. I gave it at week 5 rather than 8, and I'm happy to say that I followed your advice and stopped contacting him, and he got back to me this past week, except he's just offering friends with benefits. And I'm proud of myself for being really strong, but I can't figure out why
we
went from...
You weren't strong. You were self-loving.
Strong. Okay, but,
women... Do wrong things.
I'm sorry?
Strong women do wrong things. Self-loving women don't do wrong things.
Okay.
So you were self-loving.
Yes, I faltered a little bit. I make it sound like I did things perfectly, and I've had to call you several times to get correction.
Okay.
So it hasn't been as smooth, but I'm learning the lesson, which is good. So
good.
Now we're at this point, another point, where he's offering me friends with benefits, and I'm just like, why did we go from you're offering me marriage to just friends with benefits? Is it because he's afraid to be in a relationship? He's been married and divorced 4 times, and I think he's just clueless about relationships, and I don't think he wants to get rejected again. I think he's had women chasing after him his whole life, and now when it comes down to it, I just don't know that he knows what to do.
I think that's not your business. I think that he's got to find out whether he wants a cheap lady or a valuable lady. And you're designing your life right now to be valuable, that you are not going to be accepting. I have no judgment about people that want friends and benefits, hooking up. I don't care. I'm not a moralist. I'm a therapist. So as long as you're not child molesting, elderly or disabled adults, I don't have to report you. So you are saying you want to be married, but he's saying, I want to be sexual. And you've got to decide if you're willing to stand your ground and say, no, I'm not going to be friends with benefits. I want to be engaged. I want to be married. And if we're not compatible, sayonara.
Okay. It's as simple as that, then. Okay.
Yes.
So it's not for you to read into it or analyze or try and help or
no.
Any of that other...
When good men mate and marry, they take on responsibility. He may not like responsibility. So that may be why he's been married 4 times.
Okay.
Thanks, caller.
Yeah.
All right, we have another caller. Hi, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi, yes, I do. I am a big fan of Dr. Allen. I've been to her shows in L.A., and I just want to say, Dr. Pat, you've changed my life.
You changed your life based on what I taught you.
Yes, exactly. I learned so much from you, everything my mother never taught me, but never knew because... She was the alpha male mom working, paying the bills, and I followed in her footsteps and married a Peter Pan boy, was married for 20 years and got out of that, and trying to retrain myself to tap in to my, feminine energy, and I'm not sure if I'm alpha or beta. But
it doesn't matter. Passive, patient, and vulnerable is what a feminine woman does. So passivity means you don't chase them. Patience means you give them the time to design their program. And vulnerable means as long as what he wants is moral, ethical, and legal, you do it his way.
Oh, yes. And I so love that and so have embraced that. I've you know, done some dating since I'm newly divorced for a couple years. I didn't, before I really embraced your program, dated a couple more Peter Pans and really realized, no, that's not what I want. My question is, I work for a man who is very alpha. I really like that about him, but, you know, I work for him, so I think he has, I think he likes me. I think he has feelings for me.
Does he act on him?
What's that?
Does he act on him? Does he flirt?
Well, okay, he, like, talks to me for, like, an hour after work and tells me personal things. He invites, you know, myself and my kids to his kids' birthdays. I've invited him to my kid's birthday. It's like he gets, you know, I feel the signs are there, but I do not want to make, my friend said, oh, well, you're going to have to make the first move. And I said, no, I don't want to do that.
Don't do that. But accept all of his investigatory arrangements, all the birthday parties, all the whatevers. Just be vulnerable as long as it's moral, ethical, and legal.
Okay. And so, I mean, I know you've said you're supposed to be everyone's alpha at work, so I guess that's where my...
No, I said everybody's male at work. We're all at work for respect, to earn a living, and basically it's not the place that I think you can fall in love very easily or very well. Some companies know that well enough that they don't like people dating within the company, because if there's a falling out, they lose a good employee.
Right. Yeah, this is an unusual situation. I'm a teacher, and he's hired me as a private teacher for his son who has an illness that he can't go to public school. So I'm like in their home every day, and you know, I have to be the teacher, I have to be in charge, I have to be kind of male energy.
That's not it. He's watching you help his child. You may be on a observation tour. He may be deciding whether you're valuable enough to approach on a romantic level.
Okay. I feel that.
So keep doing your jobs and don't flirt overtly with him. Be friendly, but don't be sexual.
Okay. Just be professional. That's what I've been.
Yes.
I keep it, you know, mainly to do with his son. But if he wants to talk about his childhood or something, I...
Go right
you know,
ahead
I'm open.
And let it... It's just fine. Let him...
Okay.
Choose the vulnerability decision, and then you decide if you want to do it.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Dr.
You're welcome.
Pat.
Thank you, caller.
Love you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. So right now what I was saying was the big hotbed issue is whether or not smartphones are interfering with our intimacy. Are they taking place of our loved ones? Are they causing issues within the family?
And what they're doing is they're really exacerbating the left lobe. Mm-hmm. The left lobe in all of our skulls is a very data-oriented, word-oriented, factual-oriented lobe.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Roger Sperry did the study and got a Nobel for this in 81.
Yeah.
So men love nonverbal communication.
Yes.
Texting, faxing, emailing.
Right.
Whatever. But women love talking to a human being.
Right.
And so what I'd say to women who are being pursued by men, let him do his texting, faxing, whatever, until you get tired of it, and then say, look, I appreciate us getting to know each other, brain to brain, left lobe to left lobe, but I really am turned off starting now with not seeing you or talking to you on the phone.
Right.
Women want, we have a big corpus callosum between our right and left lobe.
Right.
We like to feel and think.
Exactly.
Whereas right-handed men have a smaller corpus callosum. They think or feel, And when they're nervous, they'd rather think than feel.
Right.
And so they like to text.
Makes sense.
They like, you see, but smartphone can be a phone talking.
Right, exactly.
So balance the energy between strokes for the right lobe, which is sound, and strokes for the left lobe, which are facts.
Perfect. We have another call. Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Got a question?
Hi. Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Yes.
In between strokes for the right lobe.
You got to turn your radio down.
And strokes for the left lobe.
Oh, hello?
You have to turn your radio down.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, now we can.
Okay. I have a question about high bi letters.
Yes.
I recently wrote a high bi, and it's still early. It's just only been a few days, but I've been so gripped with feeling embarrassed that I sent it, and just, you know, I'm thinking it's the male side of my brain just feeling, you know, like I got too vulnerable. And I was wondering if you could talk about, you know, how to sort of deal with your own feelings after you send a high bi, and is that normal?
You know, if you send a high bi, you send four statements about what you felt in the relationship. Is that true?
That's true.
And the last paragraph, the fifth paragraph, was thanking him for giving you the maybe painful experience of learning how to handle a situation that occurred between you. Now, apparently, you're not dating. Is that correct?
Correct.
Is that his idea or yours?
Mine.
Okay, but you changed your mind and you wanted to have another chance with him?
Yeah.
Okay, well, he's deciding, he's ruminating, and he can take up to 8 weeks of rumination. People say, why 8 weeks? Because it is a neurobiological phenomenon that we think, feel. And by the time we get to 8 weeks, we either have ruined our neurotransmitters, our serotonin, our dopamine, our norepinephrine, or we make a decision. So decision-making for the human being takes approximately 8 weeks. If he calls you back under 4 weeks, he's really interested. If he takes 6 weeks, he doesn't want to be interested. He's worried that it isn't going to work out. But if he really cares, he won't be able to stop himself from reaching out to you. So you have only put in a couple of days. He's got a full 8 weeks. I read about this in Maxwell Maltz's book, Psycho-Cybernetics, and I thought, why 8 weeks? Then I decided when I go for my CEUs, continuing education classes, I always go to psychiatrist, not my marriage family level. And I always go to the brain classes. And I'm finding that it's all the same. Every place I've studied how the brain operates, apparently it takes 8 weeks for people to make major decisions.
That makes sense to me, yeah. That, and you've talked about that a lot. And
yes,
my
I do.
Is more about how I feel in the aftermath of sending it a little mortified about, you know, how open I got and feeling like embarrassed.
Are you
really
prepared for him to reject you?
Okay, I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Are you prepared for the fact that you ended it and then you wrote the high bye and that he may terminate you?
I don't know. I guess I would like to be prepared, yes.
Well, then what I'd suggest is the Serenity Prayer. Have you ever heard the Serenity Prayer?
I have, but I would love a reminder.
Okay. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, his decision to dump you. How about the courage to change the things I can? That's what you were doing when you wrote the high bye. You were signaling him that you're not done with him. Mm-hmm. And then the last statement is the wisdom to know the difference. I want you to know that being vulnerable means you're willing to go through the pain of not getting what you want for the lesson of you better watch out before you terminate people. Maybe we better wait until they are definitely not acceptable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, At the time, I thought he was unacceptable, but then when I came across your material, I realized that he was just being typical.
That's exactly right. So now you've learned the lesson that will allow you not to make that mistake again, and now you're going to get a man with the best part of him without the worst part.
Got it. Yes, and
you may still come back.
Okay, and I was going to ask what it means to be vulnerable, but I think you touched on that. And I think what you're saying is just being vulnerable means to put yourself out there and be able to accept rejection. Is that what you're
Absolutely.
Saying?
Absolutely. In a relationship, this is what we're studying as therapists today, attachment theory, Bowlby's idea that what happens to you when you're teeny tiny, especially under three, impacts you for the rest of your life. So people that are raised well, they're touched and talked to, and they basically bond with the parents or the babysitters. Whoever's loving them is stimulating their mirror neuron, which helps them imitate empathy and love as a human being. So the truth of the matter is, you're first of all, hopefully, raised securely, that you believe you're lovable. The second way of being is anxious. Oh, I don't know if I'm lovable. Maybe I'm lovable. I don't know. I think I'll just avoid. That's the third thing. I'm not going to take a chance on a high bye. I might get rejected, and I don't know if I can handle rejection. Well, if you're really secure, you handle rejection.
Oh, okay. Well, I've been being the third, and I think when I wrote the high bye, it definitely was a step in a different pathway.
You are more secure. You mm-hmm. decided to take a chance.
Got it. Okay,
good for
that's
you.
Clear. Thank you.
Thank you, caller. Okay, Dr. Allen, we have a question that's come in.
What's up?
Okay, Dr. Pat, I recently listened to an interview with you, and I really enjoyed it. And you discussed your sugar addiction and your release from it. And I am a sugar addict, and I did take your advice and read Kay Shepherd's book. Do you have any other books that you would recommend to help me get out of this cycle?
Books about the sugar addiction?
Yeah, I'm becoming sugar-free.
Okay, I'd rather give you a book about addictions in general, The Craving Brain
mm-hmm.
by Dr. Rudin.
Okay.
And that book is about the fact that we always crave the thing we're allergic to.
Oh, okay.
Do you see?
Yeah.
And so I can tell when a restaurant slips a little sugar in my salad dressing because Dunkin' Donuts gets awfully glamorous for 3 days.
Yeah.
Now, why 3 days? Because it takes 3 days to detox off sugar, which has been labeled a mind-altering chemical,
mm-hmm.
alcohol,
right?
Sexual stimulation from a stranger, that turns us on.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way our bodies are built.
Right.
So there are lots of books. Licking the Sugar Habit is one. Well, read anything, but I like Kay Shepherd's. Very, very good.
Okay.
But The Craving Issue is Rudin's. The craving brain.
The craving brain. Okay, great. That is fantastic. I'm 35, and I'm starting to panic because I'm not married. And I feel like a failure. Everybody in my social circle is married. And I feel sad when comparisons are made. I'm usually optimistic, and I have faith. I've always seen myself as a feminine homemaker, and I'd like to be respecting my husband. How can I stop feeling guilty and ashamed for being unmarried at my age and not having a family and children?
Feelings aren't negotiable. Many people who don't want to feel bad get medicine, take drugs, right. Eat sugar, mm-hmm. when the truth of the matter is, if you've read my book and it sounds like this person has read the book,
yeah.
then what you do is, well, I'll give you the directions.
Mm-hmm.
5 minutes a day, 5 days a week, look in men's eyes and smile. Don't stare, look and
right.
smile.
Right.
But I suggest that if you don't have anybody that's attractive to you, smile at any man so that you practice having them smile back or look away, because it's good. 4 out of 5 of those smiling events, flirting events,
mm-hmm.
I want you to do as you're walking about.
Right.
One of them planned to be seated or standing. You may be at the car wash.
Right.
And flirting. You may be at Starbucks and flirting. But be somewhere where a shy gentleman will have the courage to walk up and sit down and talk to you.
Right.
Very often, we women don't take the time to present ourselves to the men we're interested in. We want them to look at us, come after us. But as far as I know, drunks and nerds have more courage to approach us without signals than gentlemen.
Right.
Gentlemen need to be given the signal that we are receptive, we are available, and we respect their approach.
Makes great sense. So we have a caller. Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. You have a question.
Thank you.
Hello. What can
yes,
I do for
hi,
you?
Dr. Pat Allen.
Yes.
Thank you for having me. I have a question about chemistry.
Good.
So I recently met a gentleman who is not my type, but I happened to be, I was at a bar exercising as you asked us to do, and I was flirting, and he just so happened to be a very interesting man. But I am not very, very attracted to him. I do have some sort of attraction, some sort of physical attraction, but it's not an overwhelming attraction. Can this be changed with time? How does it work exactly?
To be very, very honest, I really like it better when the man is more attracted to you than you are to him. It's really when women love men better than the men love them, too often they mother the men. So it would be better if you develop compatibility. Like, after you met him, you found him interesting. See, chemistry is good. You are not repulsed by him. And with dating, within 3 months, the first 3 months of a relationship basically are the times when chemistry, compatibility, and communication do their wondrous things. So I would rather the man is chasing you seriously, chemically, and you are evaluating him compatibly and with good communication.
Okay. So
pick with your ears. Pick with your ears more than your eyes. Harvard did a study that said men pick with their eyes 2/3 of the time. Men that pick with their ears are generally looking for a nurse or a purse. Women that pick with their eyes are cougars. Women that pick with their ears are women looking for good, giving, protective, cherishing men who don't physically repel them, which is the beginning of a good love affair.
I see. So I am on the right track.
Yes,
so
you are.
That means that the chemistry can evolve through the relationship as you get to know each other.
No, what evolves is the chemistry that's there matches up with the compatibility. He wants what I want, and he's doing what I want to do. And the communication is he's leading, you're following, and you have a good team.
Okay.
It's if you don't have any chemistry, then on your third date, when he asks you for a fourth date, tell him, I really think you're a nice fellow, but I don't have the right amount of chemistry for you, and I don't want to lead you on, and I don't want to take advantage of you.
Okay. So this idea that we have that so-and-so is my type or so-and-so isn't my type, this is a myth that we created for ourselves?
No, that's what the movie industry has created. If he's got a bit of a pot belly, if he's a little bald, we decide we don't want him because he doesn't fit the image. The truth of the matter, as I said, women do better if they pick with their ears. Okay? There's a wonderful book by David Buss, and it's called The Evolution of Desire. And it's based on the Harvard study in the 90s that two-thirds of men pick for sensual and sexual, and that's eyes, and two-thirds of women pick for status and financial stability. Those are the ears. You see?
Okay.
So try dating men that your eyes are not repulsed by, but you want to get to know them.
Okay.
All right? Balance the
three. All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, caller. And again, callers, if you did not get through, don't get discouraged. Try us again. And the number is 323-203-0815. Dr. Allen.
Yes.
We have had another tragedy.
What?
At a college in Oregon.
Oregon.
And
murders, yes.
Can you...
Another loner.
Yes, another loner. You know, we have another caller that we missed, so I'm going to go ahead and take this.
Take we'll the callers.
Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen.
You have a question? Hi, Dr. Allen.
Hello.
I have a question. You briefly kind of talked about it a little bit in Staying Married and Loving It.
Yes.
And about open relationships. I have no desire to be in an open relationship or any of that. Kind of like, what's the whole thing about that? How do those work?
Because two people want to swing or they want an open relationship, and I'm not a moralist. I'm a therapist. When people decide to swing or open their relationship up, they believe that their love is so solid that they can entertain themselves with casual sexual relatedness, whether it's a party or whatever, wherever they're going to, a convention. So what I do in this situation, these people are deciding that they can handle it. Now, whether they can handle it or not is up to reality, okay? There are other people that do the following thing. They have what is called, I call, a primary relationship. A primary relationship is one in which you and your partner are sexually primary, but you give each other the right to date other people, but not sexually. That's not as open as an open relationship. Swingers, you see?
Mm-hmm.
So in every relationship, we have to negotiate time, space, money, and play, non-sexual and sexual. The only things that I tell people to watch out for is moral, ethical, and legal. Your standards of moral, ethical, and legal. I've had men talking women into swinging who didn't believe in swinging. That never works. And the reason it doesn't is because one person is codependently clinging on to the other person and going against their own nature. Mm-hmm. I don't mind two people, but one person talking somebody else into it, not good.
So do both people then have to be masculine to do that? I mean, since a feminine person is very much like needs to be cherished and all that stuff. But I would imagine that if it was a man and a woman, that the woman would have to definitely be masculine to be able to do that,
she
right?
We are all yin and yang. All women have yin bodies, but they have yang souls, the animus. All men have yang bodies, but yin souls, the anima. Everybody is ambisexual. That doesn't mean that they are they're having sex, multiple sex. It means that we all have the choice of how we want to share time, share space, money, play. So what it takes for people to swing is two ambisexual people. He doesn't mind seeing his woman with a man, and she doesn't mind seeing her man with another woman. And if they're solid, you know what? That's their gig.
Okay. Great. I just was curious to see what your thoughts were, because I read a little bit about it in your book. So.
Right.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, caller.
All right.
Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi. Hi there.
Great. I just was curious
to
see
what
your thoughts were.
Yeah, turn your radio down.
I just turned it down.
Good.
Okay, perfect.
What can we do for you?
Okay. Oh, am I on the air now? Okay,
yes.
Thank you. I've been listening to the show, and you were talking about flirting, and I understood everything you said.
Good.
What would you recommend? I have my own business, so I'm obviously a very strong, independent woman.
Yes.
And I have tried flirting in the past just by smiling and looking at men, and I feel so awkward and so uncomfortable.
I know it.
I feel like I'm staring at them with this fake smile on my face.
Do you get any results from your flirting? Does anybody talk to you?
No. No. I'm feeling, I don't know, I guess too awkward. Something's off. So is there
really
anything that I could do to, maybe instead of going from not having dated for so long to automatically flirting, is there an intermediate step that you can recommend?
What I would recommend to you is dance classes, whether it's, Western dancing or whether it's Arthur Murray. Dance classes where you loosen up when it comes to being with people, doing something sensuous, because most dance classes go from the dance classes to a dance hall, and you have a group that is a safety surrounding you while you attract other people. And those strange people see you dancing with your classmates gives them the power to ask you to dance. Dancing is one of the best flirtation places to go.
I really liked your idea. I love to dance anyway, so okay.
But do you normally go dancing to flirt?
No, here's the thing. I used to take dance classes and, you know, business took over and I had to stop. So it sounds like it might be a good idea for me to get back into some
dance classes again. Good girl.
Yay, okay, thank you. I'm very inspired. This feels much more natural.
Good, excellent.
Thank you, caller. Okay. Good luck with that.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, Dr. Allen, so we have a lady who's been following you and has a question for you.
What?
She says, my sexuality is in the tank. I had a baby 11 months ago.
Yep.
My husband looks like Shrek the Ogre to me now. I love my baby, but some days I want to go and lock myself in the closet. I think I might be depressed, but one thing's for sure. I might want to have sex with anybody, but not with him. I'm mad. I think I'm mad at him. Labor and delivery was horrible for me. I can't seem to get over it. What's wrong with me? What do I do?
Well, you have a resentment.
Okay. I think she does too, Doc. I think she's pretty upset.
What I'm reminding you is that you donated an egg and he donated a sperm cell and you two created this little baby.
That was right. There was two of them tangoing that night.
Yes. And I want you to know that if he's willing to accept you without sex, lots of luck.
Right, lots of luck.
So it may be that before long, you won't have to worry about sex. You won't have to worry about husbands.
Right.
Because you will be a single mom.
So Dr. Allen, should she try to get her husband to go to counseling?
What she needs to do is go to her gynecologist. We have patches. We have things that can help her raise her libidinal urges.
Oh, okay.
So she needs a trip to the gynecologist.
And maybe the therapist, too.
And a little tantric wouldn't hurt.
And
tantric yoga.
Maybe reading to I Do on your famous section on Sensate.
Oh, yes, page 218.
Yeah.
218. We know what 69 is.
We do.
Now we're going to educate people on what 218 is.
Yes.
That's page 218 in the book.
Getting
to I Do. What it is set aside an hour or two with your husband and basically include water.
Right.
Whether it's the water. Remember, we all started out as fish in our mom's uterus.
Right.
So we like water, jacuzzis, baths.
They're very sensual.
Showers. Stop talking. Go to the shower or the bathtub and wash each other. Dry each other.
Mm-hmm.
Massage each other with some lovely oil.
Uh-huh.
And you don't have to have intercourse. But if your sensate focusing that you're doing turns you on, you may want to make love.
Right.
Not have sex.
Right.
But to make love. But many, many people need foreplay, men and women.
And yes.
What I give in page 218 is some devices, water, showers, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the biggest things, especially for me as a transactional analyst, is don't talk.
Right.
Because when you talk, you go left lobe.
Right.
And when you go left lobe, your resentments will come back.
That makes sense. That makes sense. I think that interesting what she said, that her husband now looks like Shrek to her because she has turned herself off to him because she's...
No,
like you said,
she was maybe traumatized a bit.
Yeah.
And if she was traumatized, I'd like her to call EMDR in Austin, Texas.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wait a minute. Website. EMDR.com.
EMDR.com.
Okay. And ask them for lists of therapists with 1 or 2 years of training in her area,
mm-hmm.
and go see that person or interview until you find one you like.
Right.
That person will help you desensitize your trauma.
I know that the EMDRs are working a lot with the gentlemen that are coming back from...
The war, PTSD.
Yeah, PTSD.
But they can work with about anything. If you want to read about it, go to Dr. Shapiro, the books that she's written about EMDR. What it does is it pulls the feelings and the thinking together, because when people get traumatized, like this dear lady, they split their feelings and thinking and disassociate.
Wow.
So they're wandering around in two different worlds, not making love or not flying planes or anything that they got scared about.
Anything that was traumatizing to them.
Yes.
Okay, I see that. That's really interesting, because I think that... a lot of people don't accept the concept of that trauma and PTSD, so I really...
Well, I want you to go to EMDR.com and ask for some sheets on people in your area who are trained as EMDR specialists.
Okay. I hope that our gal who is with us most weeks is with us tonight, and she's hearing the answer to that, and... That was a great answer, Dr. Allen. So
okay.
Definitely. You have so many fans, and right now they're asking this question.
What?
What's worse, your mate being focused on social media or your mate keeping secrets? So,
well,
what is your position on secrets, and what is your position on social media?
Social media is just like alcohol, sugar. A little goes a long way.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're burying our children, literally, and distracting them for interpersonal relationships, we are not paying attention to their neurobiological need to be stimulated sensually. Taste, touch, smell, see, and hear. Do you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We're concentrating. And we humans need to be stroked.
Right.
We need to be tasted, touched, smell, seen, and heard.
Right.
When we focus on just hearing or seeing, and we're not playing ball, and we're not making love, we tend to become non-intimate human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Which is back to that left lobe.
Right
again,
back there. Mm-hmm.
There's a wonderful book by Norman Doidge, The Brain That Changes Itself.
Wow.
When you wire your brain for logic and for left lobe, don't be surprised if you don't know how to play.
Yes, I understand that. That makes sense.
You've got to be balanced. You've got to play with your body for the right lobe to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to learn with your left lobe to take care of yourself.
Right. That makes great sense.
You
that
see?
Really does. Yeah, because if you know, it's like the old saying, all work and no play.
Right. We all need to talk and touch.
Well, I think it's also interesting you talk about setting your alignment the night before. And
absolutely.
And, you know, you set your alignment for things that you need to do, but then you also say you need to set aside a time.
Yeah, that's do good yang.
Right.
and feel good yin.
Right.
You and mean, we're all both.
Right. And you say set aside a time to do something self-indulgent that you love.
Play 1 hour a day.
Right.
1 hour a day, waste time playing.
All right. So whatever it is you do. Well, we are almost out of time, so I know you have something to say to me before we go.
Yes, I do. And it's, I think of other things, but I like this one the best.
Well, I like this one the best,
too. The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else is by the commitments you're willing to make and keep.
Beautiful. Hey, everyone. It's been so much fun tonight. Thank you all for calling in and asking your very wonderful questions. Remember to find us on Facebook. Tweet with us because we love to hear what you have to say. Give us a little plus on Google. And don't forget to go to drpatallen.com and peek around there. WantEyeStore.com and WantInstitute.org. Once again, thank you for your support and sponsorship.